How is it possible to put a price tag on the natural environment? That's exactly what new research has done for Antarctica and its surrounding southern oceans, which has labelled its economic value at an incredible $276 billion Australian dollars. To find out this outrageous value, researchers assessed the commercial worth of Antarctica, from fishing to tourism, but also the value and impact of its natural services that it provides to the rest of the world. For an environment like Antarctica that is so valuable yet so vulnerable to the effects of climate change, specifying its economic value and understanding exactly how it contributes to the rest of the world is of great importance for ensuring and encouraging its protection. To discuss the importance of this research and how exactly they landed on this number, I'm joined by co-author Dr. Rachel Baird, Senior Lecturer of Law at the University of Tasmania. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Fiona. Thanks for having me.
So firstly, can you tell us what ecosystem services are?
Sure. Look, they're things that we don't think about. So for all your listeners in the wonderful state of WA, they probably go for walks fairly often. And when you go for a walk in the wonderful nature, you get this indirect feeling of well-being, plus you also obviously get the exercise. But what they are, they're direct and indirect contributions of ecosystems to our well-being. And so in Antarctica, they're things like the movement of water via the Southern Ocean through those great currents that move around the globe. They're the uptake of carbon, and that maintains our global climate, sustains our fisheries, allows tourism to continue down there. And so they're largely unseen and possibly taken for granted, but that's what they are. It's the ecosystem that we live within and the services they provide.
So how is a specific economic value worked out for a natural feature which doesn't have a conventional price tag attached to it?
Yeah, look, it is really, really hard. And as you mentioned at the outset, it was a team of experts from UTAS. I think we had 18 experts across science and economics, valuation and ecosystems and governance and law, like myself. And it's a truism that we value what we measure, right? So we had to work out, well, what would be lost or damaged if Antarctica and the Southern Ocean were lost or damaged, okay? Mm. And the answer is, well, many of those ecosystems would disappear. And a good example is, because it's at the top of a lot of people's minds, is we've got deep expertise on sea level rise around the world. And Professor Matt King at UTAS and his team lead that. But it's complex because, you know, how if you hop in your bathtub, the level generally rises all around, unless, of course, you have a toddler who plonks himself in and it gets all chaotic. Well, sea level rise is a bit like that. It might actually go down in some areas and dramatically up in others and impact the viability of many cities, including those on the Australian coastline. So that's a loss of a benefit because you can't live in the city, you don't have a livelihood, you've got to mass relocate all those people. And there's a value placed on that. So it was a complex web that the economists and the scientists worked together to provide value on all these interlinking services and go, how do we value the benefit that's lost if these services in Antarctica are impacted?
Please continue.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that cities one is a good example because we can visualise what would happen, especially people on the East Coast, if suddenly the Gold Coast disappeared because of a dramatic sea level rise.
I was going to say, I'm quite curious, what made you and the team decide to sit down and try to put a price on Antarctica and its services?
Yeah, well, look, it's been done in the Arctic, but it's that thing of if you don't value it, you don't measure it. And we're very concerned that global warming is happening, right? And Antarctica is a little bit like, you know, there's a saying that when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold, a bit like, you know, American economy is so large. It's a bit like that with Antarctica. If something happens in that environment, it regulates and impacts the rest of the world's environment. So we thought, well, if we can place a value, albeit rubbery, on some of these services, we can start to have a conversation about how important they are to the world's or the globe's environment.
You're listening to On the Record. I'm joined by Dr. Rachel Baird, and we're chatting about new research that puts a price tag on the natural environment. So what are some of the ecosystem services that Antarctica provides to the rest of the world?
Well, there's quite a few, and without trying to get too technical, one of them is regulating services. So they are things like the ocean currents that start and move fresh water around the globe. They are things like the locking up of fresh water in the ice sheet. They're things like fisheries, which is a cultural service, and tourism. So there's quite a number of ecosystem services that are provided, including oceans absorbing carbon, for example, and they're all provided to the global environment.
And how severely would these services and benefits to the world be disrupted with the onset of climate change?
Oh, well, it'd be significant. And I gave that example about if we just had, you know, a small sea level rise, the impact on coastal communities, but there'd be impacts in terms of nutrients being moved around the from the Southern Ocean, the fresh water, heat, the ocean's ability to uptake carbon, ice shelves if they melt and release vast quantities of water. All of that are possibilities, and I'm not the scientist in the team, so I don't want to wade into scientific territory. But that will all impact the ability of the region to provide that stability to the globe.
And you mentioned tourism just before. How much do commercial features like fishing and tourism contribute to this value?
Yeah, well, some people might say it's easy because they have money flowing through, right? So we can look at the economic benefits that occur to fishers and fishing companies and tourists and tourism companies. And that helps us look at the benefits if those were to be impacted, so the loss of fishing and the loss of tourism. But the really interesting thing out of this exercise was those values that we can pick only contribute to a very small amount of that US$180 billion that we came up with. And it's those non-commercial values like the regulating services of the ocean that are about 99% of the value. And that's the stuff that needs the attention, because we can see the loss of a fishery and the loss of someone's income, but the loss of the ability of the ocean to take up the carbon is harder to quantify.
And one of those other aspects that you couldn't quite put a value on was the scientific work done in Antarctica. And I can imagine it's because you can do that research, but then there may not be a monetary impact until further down the track once that research expands and continues.
Yeah, that's true. But that scientific research has got an added benefit in that it continuing or being able to continue in a relatively stable though hostile environment provides us with all the information we need to have these important conversations. So it's sort of like a double impact if the climate down there changes to the degree that it's less conducive to having lots of scientists down there each year.
Now that we have attached this economic value to Antarctica, what does this mean for its protection and how will it be used in the future?
Yeah, and that's another really difficult question. So we have this Antarctic Treaty that exists, which already provides great protection through various instruments for activities in Antarctica. But what this conversation and this research is trying to do is say, okay, we need a global conversation because what's happening away from Antarctica is impacting the environment of Antarctica.
And how soon do you think there might be an update to that Antarctic Treaty to provide better protections and take this economic value into account?
Well, I think it's not as much about updating the treaty as it will evolve. So the Antarctic Treaty parties, they're really aware of the need to champion the role of Antarctica in the Southern Ocean, and they engage actively in international climate negotiations and actively with the UN body that oversees the Paris Agreement, some of your listeners might be aware of, which countries agree to limit emissions or warming to 1.5 degrees. And so what we need is this sort of research can help treaty parties like Australia refer to economic valuations of the ecosystem service benefits when they're having international discussions, perhaps, say, with the non-Antarctic Treaty Party, about the fact that Antarctic's important. The Antarctic continent is important to every single person on the globe, not just the Treaty Party. So I guess it's not an update because that wouldn't happen quickly at international law. Mm. It's an evolution and a discussion, and this will help those discussions.
It's very interesting research. I never thought we would hear about an economic value or price being put on Antarctica and its surrounding southern oceans. Dr. Rachel Baird, thank you so much for joining us on the record and walking us through this research and how you and the team came to this number.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. That was Dr. Rachel Baird, Senior Lecturer of Law at the University of Tasmania, sharing new research which has put a price tag on economic benefits of Antarctica and its surrounding southern oceans in an effort to garner more support for its protection.